Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. Can you please help support this vital ministry? Discerning Hearts is a 100% listener-supported Catholic apostolate. Now through the end of August, please prayerfully consider making a sacrificial gift to help us raise $30,000 to fund truly life-changing Catholic programming and prayer. The financial contributions of listeners like you enables us to continue this important ministry. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are fully tax deductible. As an independent, non-for-profit lay organization that is not affiliated financially with any diocese, our apostolate is fully listener-supported. Again, between now and the end of August, please visit discerninghearts.com to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless you from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
DiscerningHearts.com presents Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. Dr. Lillis is a professor of spiritual theology at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver, Colorado. He is a graduate of the Pontifical University at St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. He specializes in the wisdom of the saints and mystics of the Church, and in particular, Carmelite spirituality. He is also the author of Hidden Mountain, Secret Garden, a theological contemplation on prayer. In this particular series of episodes, we focus in on the mystery of faith in the wisdom of the saints. Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
If love, then, is the deepest truth about human existence, if this is that for which we are made and that which made us, if love is what made us and love is what we've been made for, then how we mature, how we enter into a maturity as Christian men and women will also be characterized by love. And Bernard explores this in his treatise on the degrees of love, or his treatise on love. And that's what we're going to look at today. It requires that we look at person a little bit different than we're inclined to look at person or individual today.
In that On Loving God by St. Bernard, I mean, he opens up with questions. It seems as though there are many of those in this. And it starts out, why should we love God? I mean, what is the measure of that love? I mean, that's, I think, one of the most important things that the human person can ask themselves.
Yes, this powerful question, why should we love God? The answer, of course, is because God loves us, and he loves us immeasurably. And the only proper response to the immeasurable love of God that has been lavished in our lives, and we're not even aware of it, but it is being lavished in our lives even right now. No matter our pain or our suffering, we are immersed in the love of God. We might be cold to it. We might be hard-hearted to it. We might not be aware of it, but it's all around us. What's the proper response to that? Once you begin to see that love, the more you see that love, you realize the only proper response to the love of God in our lives is to love him with all our strength, with all our might, with all our minds, with all our whole being, because it's the only proper way you can respond to the immeasurable love of God. The immeasurable love of God for us requires on our part an immeasurable response in return. And those who are willing to make that response, they find themselves on a pathway to human maturity. It's just exquisite. It's absolutely beautiful. And that's what we want to see in this lecture.
So take us into the heart of this, Anthony.
Okay. Well, to begin with, we need to look at the concept of person. We tend to look at person as isolated individual. And so I'm a person against other people who are out there. And as I said at one point, you know, unless I fight for what I need, it's going to be taken away from me. I'm going to be vulnerable. And so in that worldview, there's a lot of enmity between us, and we are alienated from one another. And ultimately, because of the alienation, we suffer from tremendous loneliness. You know, loneliness, I think, in our marriages, in fact, has been one of the things that have wrecked so many marriages. You have people living together who are extremely lonely because they are living together as alienated individuals. And Bernard is going to show us the pathway from this alienation into becoming a true full person. So what is Bernard's concept of person? Bernard's ultimate concept of person comes from his contemplation of the Holy Trinity. And if you look at the Holy Trinity, everything the Father has belongs to the Son, and everything the Son has belongs to the Father, and they share that love for one another through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the communicator of all the gifts of the Father and the Son to each other that we get to participate in when we receive that gift. In other words, Bernard's vision of the Trinity is a vision of a communion of persons who are perpetually, eternally, and always for each other. They're always implicated in each other's will and each other's knowledge. They're always sharing these goods among each other's persons. And they're able to do this because they have one divine will and one divine knowledge, one mind. God is simple. God is one. We are able to do this because we are created in the image and likeness of that simplicity that is revealed in the gift of person, a person given over for love. And even Vatican II reaffirms this teaching that we find in St. Bernard. We find in the document Gaudium et Spes. It's somewhere after paragraph 22. I don't have the paragraph number in front of me right now. The dogmatic constitution of the Church in the modern world says that God has created us in such wise that we only discover the truth about who we are by the gift of ourselves. Only as we give ourselves to another do we discover the truth about who we really are. And that conviction that we find in Vatican II, we find in this treatise by St. Bernard about who the human person is. The human person is someone who's the truth of which is revealed in the giving of themselves to another. And that's what marriage is supposed to be. And we're going to see that more with St. Hildegard. But for now, we're going to step back from the question of marriage and just kind of look at what does this look like for the human person? What does it look like as they give themselves over to greater and greater love? And so he's going to give us four degrees. These degrees, the way he calls them, is very counterintuitive. And I actually know scholars who would kind of object to some of his language in this. But once you see what he's trying to get at, his points are valid and beautiful points. But what are these four degrees? He says the first degree of love, the first step of learning to love, is to love yourself for your own sake. And we'll come back to that, but let me just list these first, because it isn't that counterintuitive. He's going to tell us how we are to love God, but he begins with, you can't even love God until you love yourself for your own sake. Mm-hmm. And then the second step is that you need to learn to love God for your own sake. And so those two steps, don't they sound just a little bit selfish? I'm loving myself and I'm loving God for me. You know?
But it does sound. It could lead to the potential of self-absorption.
It could, except if you keep in mind the self, the I that Bernard has in mind. Bernard can't conceive of a self that's an alienated individual that's self-absorbed, because for him the self is always in communion, always implicated with everybody else. And so we're going to see that to love yourself for your own sake means to also love your neighbor for his own sake. And to love God for your own sake means to love God not only for your sake, but also for your neighbor's sake. And so do you see it's very mm-hmm. relational.
That's right. Sounds like a trinity almost.
It becomes that. Because the third step, is a movement into deeper kind of life with God. I would call it the mystical life. The first two degrees of love are ascetical. This is what I can do in my life with the help of grace, the first kinds of love. But the second two loves are loves that God does in me when I say yes to him. And so that is to love God for God's own sake. We're going to see what this means, but God is able to infuse into our hearts a love by which we are able to love him because he is so good and beautiful and true. And in this degree, we're absolutely in love with God and in love with his Trinitarian mystery. But Bernard says that that's not the highest love. That's a very high love. But the greatest, the highest love of all, and again, this is counterintuitive and sounds self-absorbing if you don't understand what he means by myself or I, and that is this last stage, is I love myself for God's sake. I love myself for God's sake. And remember, self is the self in communion. So that means I love myself, but I love all my brothers and sisters. I'm concerned for their salvation because I realize how much more God is concerned about it. And because it's so burning so much on God's heart, it burns in my heart too. So I love myself for God's sake is the highest degree of love for St. Bernard. So let me back up now and kind of go through those four stages. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Please do.
So let's start with that stage to love myself for my own sake. And bearing in mind, again, the self that we're talking about is the self who's in communion with others. St. Bernard describes this person as someone who takes care of themselves. You know, they make sure they're eating right and sleeping right, and that they have relationships with other people. They're living a wholesome, good life. Now, I want to make one observation about this. A lot of people think that when they're living the Christian life, they start patting themselves on the back about all the things they're giving up and all the great things they've done for Jesus. Well, it's true, they've made some sacrifices for Jesus, and there is some reason to praise and thank God that you've had the grace to do that in your life. But you need to stop kidding yourself. All these things that you're doing for Jesus, you're actually doing for yourself. And what I mean by that is, you know, you're just taking care of yourself when you go to bed on time and when you wake up in the morning. You're just taking care of yourself when you control how much you eat so that you're not snacking in between meals all the time, but instead you eat meals with people because it's a healthy thing to do. You use meals for communion with others. That's a healthy thing to do so that your eating habits don't become a selfish indulgence. Well, I mean, you can do that out of love for Jesus, but you know, you got to also be truthful. When you do this, it feels pretty good to do. It feels awful when you're always stuffing your mouth all by yourself, mm-hmm. and you're just consuming things for out of self-indulgence. It feels good when you share a meal with somebody else and you eat at appointed times. It's called taking care of yourself. That's called loving yourself. And just like we do that with eating and sleeping, we also do that with our prayer time. Having daily prayer is not a great sacrifice. Making the prayer a priority in our lives doesn't cost us anything at all. It's good for us. I once had a doctor who, an eye doctor who was, he was Buddhist. I was very concerned because of something that was going on with my eyes. He said, you know, you Westerners, you get so anxious about your bodies all the time. You don't spend enough time in meditation. If you would just spend more time in meditation, you would find yourself a lot less upset about things in life and a lot more accepting. I was thinking the whole time he's talking, here is this Buddhist telling me, a Christian, that I need to pray more. And trust God more. He was doing it in his own way, and he didn't use that language a lot, but he identified the problem right on. I was all worried about my health, and that's a symptom. That kind of worry and anxiety is a symptom that I'm not trusting God. I need to spend more time in prayer. And the more time you spend in prayer, the more you find yourself taking care of yourself, doing things that are good for you. When you do not spend time in prayer, when you do not get enough sleep, when you're always stuffing yourself with snacks and so forth, you're not taking care of yourself. You exhaust yourself, and all of a sudden you're not free in your life to do good works, to do things that build other people up. And so this is the other thing that St. Bernard talks about in this stage of love, and that is that as you grow in the stage of love, as you meet your own needs, you begin to understand how much your neighbor has needs, and that in order to protect and promote their dignity, you need to make sure that they're eating right and that they have a safe place they can go to where they can sleep and get the rest they need so that they too can live a good and wholesome life. And so do you see the discipline of the Christian life, all the fasting we observe, all the prayer we observe, the daily mass, the going to confession, the first degree of love, the first degree is degree in which we're doing these things because they're good for us to do, and we're taking care of ourselves by doing it. And so people who are not doing these things, or if you yourself find yourself a little bit sluggish and a little bit too self-indulgent, St. Bernard is saying, take care of yourself. You're meant for something so much more. Don't destroy your life by living for frivolous things, and don't put yourself in harm's way and ruin your health because you're too self-indulgent. Instead, live a disciplined life, a life that will let the love of God in. And as you do this, you're taking care of yourself. You're loving yourself for your own sake. You become capable of greater kinds of loves in your life. You become more aware of the needs of others and what's good for them in their lives too. I think a lot of moms and dads struggle with being good parents in the beginning because they, in their own life, aren't that disciplined. And if they would embrace the discipline of the Christian life just a little bit more, they would know how to take care of their children and each other better. And so I talked about, you know, the couple that's been alienated from each other, that's suffering from that horrible pain of loneliness. Well, are they taking care of themselves the way they should? Are they going to bed on time and waking up on time? Are they spending time cultivating their own friendship with each other and talking to each other and going for walks? Are they having meals together? Are they praying together? Are they able to go to Mass together? You know, those are the things that make a healthy marriage. And when people do those things, they are loving themselves for their own sake. They're opening themselves up to greater kinds of love.
There's an instance in AA where it's a wonderful thing I think you can use for everyday life. It's called HALT. If you wake up and you find that you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, then HALT. I dare say there's not a day that doesn't go by where I don't encounter someone who is suffering from one of those four symptoms. They either wake up hungry, they're angry, they wake up lonely, or they're tired. And that seems to be four symptoms that we just have to stop and look at what's going on in our lives. Yeah. Are we getting enough sleep? Are we eating the right foods? And then are we turning things over to the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes what's going on when people aren't taking care of themselves, there's a fundamental lack of trust in the Lord. And that actually this point, to tell you the truth, dovetails into the next degree of love. You see, in order to really take care of yourself and take care of your neighbor, one of the things that you need to do in order to get the sleep you need, in order to make sure your neighbor is getting the sleep they need in their lives, or the food they need, or the prayer they need, or the prayer you need, one of the things you need to do is to trust God and His divine providence. And that divine providence is being showered on us all the time. But St. Bernard says, as you see that divine providence, as you see God help you through all these situations that look totally hopeless and you wonder how it's going to work out, but you persevere in loving yourself and loving those that God has entrusted to you. As you do that, and you come to rely more on divine providence, one of the things that begins to happen in your life as you experience this goodness of God is you also begin to say inevitably in your heart, you know, God is really taking care of me in some really splendid ways. Mm-hmm. God must be pretty good. And in your heart, you begin to love God because He's been so good to you and so good to those that you love. And do you see how that's a beginning of a friendship? God has you and God are kind of implicated in the same work. You want to take care of yourself and those you love, and God wants to take care of you and those you love. And as you do that, you realize what a wonderful God we have, a God who actually implicates Himself into our affairs and our concerns and our plights. He's actually concerned about what's going on in our lives. This is not a self-interested God. This is not an alienated God who doesn't care about us. This is a God who really loves us. And you can't help but want to love Him back. And so that's the second degree of love. With what you were talking about in terms of HALT, I think it's very difficult to HALT, to just stop, if we're not living according to the divine providence. Mm-hmm. If we think that it's all up to us, it's hard to stop. But when you realize how good God is to us and how much He's loved us and how much He cares about our plight, it's easier to stop.
We'll return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app where you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Esseff, Deacon James Keating, Father Donald Haggerty, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more. They're all available on the free Discerning Hearts app. Over 3,000 spiritual formation programs and prayers, all available to you with no hidden fees or subscriptions. Did you also know that you can listen to Discerning Hearts programming wherever you download your favorite podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, even on Audible, as well as numerous other worldwide podcast streaming platforms? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has a YouTube channel? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts Catholic Podcasts, dedicated to those on the spiritual journey. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Show your support for Discerning Hearts by liking and leaving positive reviews on your favorite streaming platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and more. With a collection of insightful podcasts led by renowned Catholic spiritual guides, such as Father Timothy Gallagher, Monsignor John Essef, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and more, Discerning Hearts is your gateway to a deeper understanding of discerning life's mysteries and growing deeper in your relationship with Christ. Your likes and reviews not only affirm the value these podcasts bring to your spiritual journey, but also help others discover the guidance and inspiration they seek. Share your thoughts, spread the word, and be part of a community that's committed to elevating hearts and minds through meaningful conversations. Your feedback fuels our mission to help others climb higher and go deeper in their spiritual growth. Like, review, and let your voice be a beacon of light for fellow seekers on this spiritual journey.
We now return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis.
I mentioned before that the 4 degrees of love, we actually come into a very interesting transition point, because up until now, we've loved ourselves for our sake and we've loved God for our sake. But St. Bernard says there's an even deeper love that when, as we learn to love God for the good things he's doing in our lives, we come to love God because of who he is in himself. And that kind of love of God is a participation in the very love that he has in himself. It's participation in the Trinitarian love of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit communicates that kind of love in our hearts, and we can say yes to it. The Holy Spirit gives us a knowledge of who the Father is and who Jesus is. And it's a knowledge that goes way beyond all the good and wonderful things that God has done for us personally in our lives, and extends out to things that are utterly mysterious to us. God wants to show us his whole heart. St. Thomas Aquinas writes about this in the Summa Theologica, Part 1, Question 43, where he talks about the invisible or spiritual missions of the Son and the Spirit. And he says that the Father is always sending the Son and the Spirit in our life. And the first reason why he sends the Son and the Spirit in our life is because he wants us to be able to enjoy, the Father wants us to be able to enjoy the presence of the Holy Trinity in our hearts. And that's what's going on in this stage of love. We're learning to enjoy the presence of God who is in us by grace. And it's the beginning of a very beautiful and tender friendship. But it requires on our part, as we feel that love, we need to let that love draw us into deeper and deeper prayer and deeper relationship with the Holy Trinity. The final stage of love, the stage by which we love ourselves for God's sake, is the stage in which, in the first stage, we got captivated by the mystery of God. We learned to enjoy it. St. Thomas says there's another reason why God gives himself to us in prayer, sends himself into our hearts, sends the Son and the Spirit into our hearts. And that reason is, in addition that we might enjoy his presence, the Father has some great purpose for each one of us, a purpose that involves the fire of God's love burning in us in a purpose that involves us sharing that love with the world and setting the world on fire with the mercy of God. And for each soul, that special work, that unique work, is totally different. And God has a special plan for each one of us. And He's entrusted part of that special plan to each one of us in a unique and privileged way. And in a very beautiful way, He's counting on us to say yes. But unless we learn to love Him in that earlier stage of love where we love God for His own sake, we will not be able to receive this kind of love that allows us to love ourselves and our neighbors for His sake, allows us to burn with a passion that burns in the heart of the Holy Trinity. Anyway, this highest stage of love, I think, if we had just a little bit more of it in our lives and in the church today, the whole world would be on fire. And that is the wisdom of Saint Bernard.
Any final thoughts?
I just would say that those who want to follow this wisdom laid out by Saint Bernard, it's the kind of thing to begin to talk about with your spiritual director. And if you don't have one, a very good spiritual friend, someone say, you know, look at your spiritual practices, but also some of the just regular practices in your life, and ask yourself the question, are these practices ordered? Are they ordered to the providence of God? And one very special way, and this sounds counterintuitive, and we'll look at this in the future, but one way that we do not take care of ourselves very well in our society is we do not take care of ourselves in terms of observing the evangelical counsel of poverty. Jesus asks us to embrace poverty, not because He thinks that we need to make some great sacrifice for Him. He's just fine. He doesn't need our poverty or things that we can give Him by our poverty. He counseled us for poverty first and foremost because it's good for us individually. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, said this several months ago. He said that today there are riches that are crowding out the spiritual life, and some of these riches are in terms of an excess of material things. Do we need to go into our garages and through our houses and give away some of the things that are just clutter in our lives, that are demanding attention that we don't, that isn't worthy of us? Are there some things that we can give that might be helpful for other people? If we are men and women who live in communion with others, are there things in our house that others might benefit from more than we do? And by giving away those things with love, we're making space for divine providence in our lives. But the other thing the Pope said that I think is another kind of riches that we need to be able to give up so that we can enter into love is the riches that we have in terms of making commitments in our lives. You know, when we vow ourselves to each other in marriage, when we promise ourselves to each other in marriage, those sacred bonds mean that we need to say no to other relationships in our lives, and we even need to say no to entertaining the possibility of other relationships in our lives. We need to make that renunciation deep in our heart. As long as we cling to those other possibilities, we are clinging to a kind of riches, and we are not poor. If we want to follow our crucified master, Jesus, who made Himself poor for our sake, we need to let go of possibilities that don't belong to us anymore, so that we can say yes to the poverty that makes us vulnerable to the providence of God.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you, Chris. God bless you.
You've been listening to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. To hear and or to download this episode, or to learn more about the mystical doctors and teachings of the saints, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis.